بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 8th session and final session, inshallah, reading from الدعاء الذي لا يرد, يعني the دعاء which is not rejected. By Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Excuse me. This evening, before we begin with the topic, which are the last two matters, the 12th and 13th matters mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah, of those things which a person making dua should pay attention to, so that it is more likely that their dua would be accepted and not rejected. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take the last two points, 12 and 13. But before doing so, we're going to take a quick look at some of the points that we discussed last week in reference to point number 11, or matter number 11. From the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 7, the first question being mentioned, Al-Amr Al-Hadi Ashara, the 11th matter which the person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. The 11th matter which the person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. Naam. Abdul Wali.
Seeking intercession by way of Allah's names and attributes.
Seeking intercession, tawassul, yani seeking a means of nearness to Allah by way of his names and attributes, and his asma and his sifat and his oneness. The second question mentioned a dalil from the Quran, 7th surah, 180th ayat, which supports this 11th matter as a means of dua being answered, yani a cause or a means for which dua would be answered. Now, anybody remember this ayah? Naam. Talib.
And all the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on them by them.
Naam. All of the most beautiful names, the names of perfection, yani belong to Allah. Walillahi al-asma' al-husna. Allah says that, He declares that unequivocally, that all of the most beautiful names belong to Him, exclusively. فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا. Therefore, that being the case, call upon Him, supplicate to Him by those beautiful names, those names of perfection that belong to Allah alone. The third question mentioned one of the examples given by the author from the Quran in which the names of Allah are used in dua. One of the examples that the author gave from the Quran, in which the names of Allah are used in dua. Naam. Naam. وَرَزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Yani, the saying of Isa alayhi salam, he said, so grant us rizq, provisions, for indeed you are the best of those who provide provisions. Naam. The fourth question. Memorize an example of this, yani, of a dua in which the names of Allah are used for nearness to Him. An example from the Sunnah in the dua which was taught to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the dua that was taught to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yani, in which the names of Allah are mentioned, which are suitable and befitting of the thing that he is asking for. Anybody remember this dua? Dua that was taught to Abu Bakr. Now, faqfirli. Innaka anta. Ghafur Rahim. And in this supplication, the Prophet ﷺ taught Abu Bakr to first acknowledge his shortcomings in front of Allah, اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. So the first thing that in this dua a person is acknowledging their shortcoming in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we didn't fulfill that which is obligatory upon us that Allah is deserving of to a great extent. ظلماً كثيراً وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And then acknowledging that there's no one who forgives sins except Allah. And nobody else can forgive sins except Allah. I've fallen short and you're the only one who forgives sins. فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَارْحَمْنِي. Therefore, forgive me with a forgiveness from yourself and have mercy upon me. Right? And then he closed by saying, what? After asking for forgiveness and mercy, he said, what? إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you are the one who is forgiving and you are the one who is merciful. And this dua, yani we discussed last week, we're not going to go into detail now, but it is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Yani, what could be yani better for a person to learn than something that was taught to yani the best of this ummah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, after the prophets and messengers? Now, so yani we should give care to this. It is important yani that we supplicate with the supplications which yani are comprehensive and are complete, yani that came to us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number 5, mention a proof from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that the names of Allah are not limited to 99. A proof from the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud that the names of Allah are not limited to 99, as might be understood from some of the authentic narrations of hadith, yani that Allah has 99 names, whoever, ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. What is the proof in the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud, hadith reported by Imam Ahmed, that his names are not limited to 99? Anybody remember? Something in that hadith, naam. طيب. So the meaning of this, yani, the meaning of these words is that the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us to ask Allah, yani to supplicate to Allah, asking Him by every name, yani that belongs to Him, by every name that He has named Himself with. And then He mentions, from the categories of those names are those which He revealed in His book, yani which everybody has access to. And from them are those which He taught to someone from amongst His creation, whether human or angel or otherwise, which is not available to everyone. And then there are names which He has kept exclusively for Himself in the knowledge of the unseen that nobody has access to. And this is a clear indication, what? That there are names that everybody may know, there are names that only some people may know, and there are names that are only known by Allah. So the names of Allah are not limited to 99 that we might know from the Quran or from the Sunnah. Rather, there are many, many more names, which some of which He has taught to any special yani being from His creatures, whether yani from the human beings, prophets or messengers or angels or other than that. And then there are names that are with Allah alone exclusively. So this is a very important matter that we understand, that Allah has many names. He has many names. But the names that belong to Allah can only be known yani by revelation, from the Quran or from the Sunnah. We don't just make up names. Now, the question number 6, which wasila, yani which means of seeking nearness to Allah is absolutely the greatest and most exalted means of nearness to Allah in dua or in other than dua? Which yani of the means of nearness to Allah is the greatest and most exalted? Yani seeking nearness to Allah by what? The greatest and the most exalted, the most lofty of all means of seeking nearness to Allah is from what we talked about last week. We said seeking nearness, التوصل إلى الله بأسمائه وصفاته وتوحيده. And no doubt that seeking nearness to Allah by His names and His sifat, characteristics or qualities, is of the greatest of means. But the absolute, most exalted and greatest of them all is seeking nearness to Allah by means of His tawheed. Tawheed. Because this is the greatest affair, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 7, discuss briefly how the ayat in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah 190, 3rd ayat, is an example of using one's iman in Allah. Yani, how this ayat is an example of using one's iman in Allah as a means of nearness to Him in dua. Naam, Abdul Wali.
Seek nearness to Allah by His Tawheed, by His Tawheed Uwaliyah, and His Asma Wasifat.
Tayyib, how is this ayat, yani an example of that? Yani what is mentioned in this ayat that is an example of that? Yani in this ayat, the believers, they are praying to Allah, asking Him, yani for whatever they are asking for. But what is the means that they are using in this ayat that's mentioned in this particular ayat, the 193rd ayat, where they are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have heard a munadi, a caller, calling to what? Calling to iman, to believe in your Rabb. And they said, we heard the caller calling to iman, fa'amanna, so we believed. And then they said, Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. Therefore, since we heard the call and we accepted the call and we believed based on that iman in Allah, we are asking you then to forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, and to yani make us take our souls amongst the righteous. So the point here is what? That they acknowledged, they declared that Allah sent a caller to call them to iman, and they accepted it. They believed. Based on that iman, they're asking Allah to forgive their sins and their shortcomings and to take their souls amongst the righteous. So the wasila, the means of nearness to Allah here is what? Is a person proclaiming the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 8, discuss the expression or expressions in the final supplication mentioned by the author. Which expression or expressions is or are a wasila, a means of nearness to Allah? In the final supplication that the Shaykh mentioned. Take a look. Help. The question is, what discuss which expression or expressions in the final supplication mentioned by the author is a wasila? Which ones or which one is a wasila, yani means of nearness to Allah, in the supplication that the Shaykh mentioned in the end? Naam.
Inni ashhadu annaka antallah, la ilaha
illallah. Naam. Inni ashhadu, yani the shahada, bearing witness that you are Allah. Yani declaring, admitting, acknowledging one's, yani the truthfulness that Allah is, yani belief in Allah, iman in Allah. And what else in this dua? Naam. Naam. Al-Ahad al-Samad, yani the names of Allah. Also are, these expressions are also means of nearness to Allah. Mentioning, yani seeking nearness to Allah by His names. And also, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Yani this is the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the means of nearness to Allah, declaring one's, yani acknowledgement and confession of one's iman, yani in Allah's names, in His sifat, and in His tawheed. And all of it is contained in this final supplication that the Shaykh mentioned. The last question summarized the first 11 matters which a person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. The first 11 matters. We can do it, and if we can try to do it in order, everybody can participate. Yani, so we can do it quickly. Number one, the first thing he mentions. The presence of heart. Naam, and focusing on that which is being requested. Number two. I'm sorry? The prescribed times. The times that are legislated, which more likely for dua to be accepted. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentions 6 times. The third one. Huh? Khushu'. Khushu' in the heart. Yani having humility and humbleness and submission, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the state of the heart. Naam. The fourth? Facing the Qibla. The fifth? Tahura. Being in a state of purification. The sixth? Raising the hands in dua. The seventh? Beginning with praising Allah and sending salat and salam, making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The eighth? At-tawbah wal-istighfar. Yani preceding one's dua with tawbah, repentance, and istighfar. The ninth?
Being patient, not hasty.
Yani al-ilha, yani being persistent in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect, yani and in a mannerly fashion. Naam. That's 9, 10. Combining between hope and fear. Having, yani the state of one's heart is hoping for what is with Allah and fearing, yani His punishment or His rejection. Naam. That's 10. That's 10. That's it. 11. calling on Him by His names and His attributes, and His asma wa sifat, and His tawheed. So we have two remaining that we're going to cover tonight, inshallah, to complete that which, and the list of those of the most important, some of the most important things that a person needs to pay attention to in reference to any dua being accepted and not rejected. The first matter that we're going to discuss tonight is Al-Amr Al-Thani Ashara, the 12th matter. And the Shaykh Yani is very brief on this particular point. Doesn't mean that it's any less important. And he says, and we're beginning in English translation on page 38, and in the Arabic text on page 37. Al-Amr Al-Thani Ashara At-Tasadduqu Bayna Yaday Ad-Dua. Yani that a person offers charity before making their dua. And before making dua, that a person offers charity of some type, whatever type it might be. Charity is, yani, the word is used here in the general sense. The Shaykh, he mentions two points, briefly, related to giving charity sincerely for the sake of Allah, from that which is pleasing to Allah. He mentions two points related to this being a means of nearness to Allah, such that a person's dua is more likely to be accepted. He said, As-sadaqatu laha sha'nun azim. Yani that the act of giving charity is an affair. Yani a great, very, very important matter. Yani charity should not be taken lightly. This is a very, very important matter. The proof of this, he said, it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, sadaqatu as-sirri. Yani charity that is given secretly. Charity that is given secretly. And there's some proof that of the fact that charity given openly is also permissible, but the charity given secretly is better. And that's not absolute, but in general. Charity given secretly. Sadaqatu as-sirri tutfi'u ghadab ar-rab. Yani that charity given secretly, yani where others don't know about it, that only Allah knows, yani, so that it will be sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. That this extinguishes or reduces the anger of Ar-Rabb. Yani, that this extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person gives charity secretly is a means of, yani, removing the anger that Allah may have for a particular person. The Shaykh says, and this hadith is reported by At-Tabarani, Al-Imam At-Tabarani, in his Mu'jam Al-Kabir. And it was declared to be sahih by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his book, As-Silsila As-Sahiha, Bimajmu' Shawahidihi. Yani, that this hadith has some weakness in it, but due to, yani, the collection of different, yani, narrations that support its meaning and support it, the Shaykh classified it as being, and he declared it to be sahih. So the Shaykh Abdul Razak, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says that there's no doubt, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الزَّوَالَ غَدَبَ الرَّحْمَنَ جَلَّ جَلَالَهُ عَنَ الْعَبْدِ سَبَبٌ لِإِجَابَةِ دُعَائِهِ وَإِعْطَائِهِ سُؤْلَهُ. Yani there's no doubt about the fact that removing or reducing or, yani, the subsiding of the anger of Ar-Rahman that he has for a particular abd will be a sabab, it will be a cause, it will be a reason, it will be a means, a wasila, due to which their dua would be answered. That person's dua will be answered and they will be given what they are asking for. Yani that a person does something, and in this case, given charity secretly, yani is a means of removing the anger of Allah that he has for that person. Yani they have done something that angers Allah, and then they try to rectify the situation, correct it. Yani try to fix the wrong that they have done by doing that which is something from those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes it clear that of those things that remove Allah's anger is given charity secretly. Then he says, and he closes with this second point, وهي أيضا من جملة الأعمال الصالحة التي يشرع للمؤمن أن يتوصل بها إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. And as well, a second point is that giving charity secretly is from among those righteous deeds which are legislated for a believer as a means of seeking nearness through it, seeking nearness through those things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani from amongst al-amal al-salihah, righteous deeds, things that Allah loves and is pleased with. From amongst them, charity is one of those righteous deeds. And righteous deeds are those things which Allah has legislated to be a means of nearness to Him. Yani a person will get near to Allah by doing things that Allah loves and is pleased with. This is a means of nearness to Allah. And so charity is from amongst the righteous deeds that Allah has legislated as a means of nearness to Him. And here, I just want to quickly refer to support the point that the Shaykh is making here. One of the hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, the hadith of Al-Wali, in which the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَّنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever opposes, has enmity against a wali of mine, a person who has iman and taqwa, then I've declared war against him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and the hadith is a little bit lengthy, I want to get to the end of the hadith, but what leads up to it is very, very important. He said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. That my abd doesn't get near to me with anything more beloved to me. The most beloved thing that you can do to get near to Allah is what? That which He has made obligatory. And my abd continues to get near to me by doing voluntary deeds. Extra voluntary deeds that Allah has legislated until I love Him. And when I love Him, I become His hearing with which He hears, and His sight with which He sees, and His hand with which He strikes, and His feet with which He walks. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this hadith Qudsi that there's nothing more beloved to Allah to get near to Him with than the obligatory duties. And then a person can continue to get nearer to Allah by doing voluntary deeds. The point is what? That sadaqa sirri, yani giving charity in secret, is from amongst those things that Allah has legislated to get as a means to get nearer to Him. But this is general. Yani whatever Allah has made obligatory upon us, that's the most beloved thing to get near to Allah. And along with that, continually getting near to Allah is by doing extra things that Allah has legislated, which He loves and is pleased with, until the person is loved by Allah. Yani, so these righteous deeds are a means of nearness to Allah, which is a means of earning the love of Allah. And in the end of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when a person earns his love due to their nearness to Him, due to doing righteous deeds, He said, فَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَعُطِيَنَّهُ. Then I would definitely give him what he asks for. And if he were to seek refuge in me, I would grant refuge to him. The point here is what? That these doing of righteous deeds in general are a means of nearness to Allah, a means of earning the love of Allah, a means of what? Of getting one's dua answered. Yani if he were to ask me for something, I would definitely give it to him. So this is, in general, in this particular point is charity specifically given secretly is a means of nearness to Allah. It's a means of specifically, eliminating the anger of Allah because the person does good deeds to get near to Allah and to earn the love of Allah. And then Allah is not going to be angry with them. And if they call upon Allah, He will answer them. After this, the Shaykh mentions the last point that was given to us by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, Al-Amra Al-Thalith, Ashara, the 13th matter, Tahari Al-Ad'iyya, Allati Akhbara Al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Anna Dua Ma'aha Mustajabun. Yani the 13th matter is that a person searches for, seeks out, yani diligently seeks those Ad'iyya, those Dua, those supplications, which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us that dua with these supplications, with these particular supplications, is mustajab. Yani that there are particular supplications which the Prophet ﷺ made us to know that if a person supplicates with them, their dua is going to be answered. So knowing these dua is really, really important. because, yani, since we know that supplicating with these words are the best of words, either because there's something in it due to which, yani, the dua will be accepted, answered, or due to the fact that specifically the greatest name of Allah is contained in those, in that dua, and therefore Allah answers. So the Shaykh, he says, فالمسلم إذا تحرى هذه الدعوات المأثورة ودعا بها بصدق وإقبال وإلحاح وإلحاح ما استحضار جميع الأمور السابقة فإن دعاه لا يكاد يرد أبدا. So the Muslim, if he is diligent and eager in seeking out these supplications, al-ma'thura, which have been conveyed through to us through from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he supplicates with these supplications with sidq and iqbal and ilha, that he supplicates with these special supplications, yani, truthfully, sincerely, yani, turning to Allah, drawing near to Allah, and being persistent in asking Him, along with calling to mind all of the previously mentioned affairs up until now that we have mentioned. If a person does that, then that person's dua is not likely to be rejected. Then the Shaykh mentions examples. He mentions two examples, and he refers to a third example that we mentioned last week in the previous session. من أمثلة هذه الأدعية قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني, from the examples of this type of dua is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, دعوة ذي النون إذ دعا وهو في بطن الحوت, يعني, the supplication of ذي النون, يعني, the one who was in the fish, Yunus عليه السلام. The supplication of Yunus alayhi salam, when he supplicated, and in some of the narrations, إِذْ دَعَ رَبَّهُ, when he supplicated to his Rabb, وَهُوَ فِي بَطْنِ الْحُوتِ, while he was in the belly of the whale. What supplication was the supplication of Yunus alayhi salam? لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Yani, the supplication of Yunus alayhi salam is La ilaha illa anta. And he's saying to Allah, there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except you. Declaring the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of the rights of Allah that are exclusive to Him. And then he says, Subhanaka. Yani, declaring Allah's perfection. Oh, how perfect you are. Allah, yani, declaring Allah to be free from imperfection, from any defect, from any shortcoming. Yani, and the negation of any type of shortcoming or defect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the affirmation of perfection. Is the affirmation of perfection. Negation in and of itself is not a praiseworthy thing, except that we understand that when there's negation of something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an indication of Allah's perfection. It is an indication. Allah, yani, declares Himself to be free from being overcome by slumber or sleep. And this is an indication of the perfection of his life, that he doesn't fall asleep, that he doesn't become sleepy because of his, yani, perfect life. He says, Subhanaka, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I was from amongst those who wronged themselves. And here some of the scholars said, in reference to this hadith and this supplication, that Subhanaka here also has the meaning of declaring that my condition was not any injustice from Allah who's perfect. Rather, it was my own wrongdoing. Yani, my condition that I'm in is from myself. And this is very important, that whatever we are going through, whatever situation we are suffering from, whatever hardships we are being confronted with, that is the result of our own doing. Yani, it's not injustice or wrongdoing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanaka, Allah is perfect, free from imperfections, free from any shortcoming, free from wrongdoing. Rather, in me, indeed, I myself was from amongst the zalimeen, those who have done wrong. So a person acknowledges their own wrongdoing And they acknowledge that Allah hasn't wronged them. That is from their own self. And they acknowledge that He alone deserves to be praised, and He alone deserves to be worshipped. With these words, Yani, Yunus alayhi salam called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the belly of the whale, in the darkness of the night on the bottom of the ocean, and his words were heard by Allah and by the angels in the heavens. And Allah responded to him. And even though there's no direct request here, but it's understood. Yani when he said, I was from the wrongdoers, he's saying, Allah forgive me and rectify my situation. And Allah responded to him. The Prophet ﷺ said, this dua, this supplication of Yunus a.s., when he supplicated to his Rabb, while he was in the belly of the whale, La ilaha illa anta, Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen, he said, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَدْعُوا بِهَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ فِي شَيْءٍ قَطْ إِلَّا اسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. He said, indeed, no Muslim man or Muslim person, man or woman, no Muslim person has supplicated biha, yani with these words, with this supplication, for anything at all, except that Allah responds to him, has responded to him. Yani anyone who has called on Allah with these words, Allah will definitely respond. Whatever it is that they're asking for, whatever is their need or their situation, he said, indeed, no one has called upon Allah, no Muslim has called upon Allah for any need that they have at all, except that, with these words, except that Allah has responded to him. Some of the scholars of hadith, they said that the meaning here is, this supplication of Yunus alayhi salam, that since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making us to know that there's no one who calls upon Allah with these words except that Allah responds to him, the meaning of it is, therefore it is incumbent upon you to call upon Allah with these words, with this supplication. There are some words that also was narrated in the narration of Al-Hakim of this particular hadith. In his narration, it has the additional words that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, a man said, Ya Rasulullah, hal kanat li Yunus khasatan am lil mu'minina amatan? Yani, is this something that's particular, exclusive for Yunus alayhi salam, or is this for the Muslims, the believers in general? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ala tasma'u li qawli Allah ta'ala, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani, didn't you hear the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 88th Ayat? Indeed, or maybe it's the 87th and 88th Ayat. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in reference to Yunus when he made this dua, and indeed we have saved him from the stress that he was in that situation that he was in. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And just like that, we will also save the believers from whatever distress they are in. Yani that this is not something exclusive to Yunus alayhi salam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves the believers from whatever situation they might be in. After this, the Shaykh mentions a second supplication that is from those adaiya, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us that the dua with these supplications is going to be answered. This hadith is collected by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi and the other Imams from the Sunan Al-Arba', Abu Dawud, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. In which it is reported from Anas Ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. And by the way, the previous hadith, the supplication of Yunus alayhi salam, is reported from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. In this narration from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sami'a rajulan yaqulu fi du'ahi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard a man saying in his du'a, in his supplication, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd, la ilaha illa anta, al-mannan, badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Yani the Prophet ﷺ heard a man saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, I ask you, bi anna laka alhamd. Yani bi anna laka alhamd. In fact, the previous hadith that we mentioned last week, that the Shaykh mentioned in the previous point, also came with the word bi anna. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. And it came with the part with the preposition be, just also came in some of the narrations. And the meaning, some of the scholars said, it means that the bahi is sababiyya. Yani that is a cause or means or a wasila that a person is using as a means to get nearness to Allah. Yani based on what I'm about to say, I'm asking that this be a means. I'm asking for what I'm asking for with this as a means, yani as a wasila of nearness to Allah to get their dua answered. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd. O Allah, I ask you, based on the fact, yani, that I acknowledge and confess and have iman in the fact that all of the praise belongs to you. Bi anna laka alhamd. And from what we know, yani, is that from the things that Allah loves most is that He be praised. And for this reason He began Surah Al-Fatiha with declaring, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah declaring about Himself that all of the hamd belongs to Him, the Rabbil Alameen. And from the reasons why He is the one who is deserving of all praise is because He is the Rabbil Alameen. Yani because He is the one who created and who owns and who controls everything that exists. In addition to the fact that He is the one worthy of all the praise because of what He has done. Yani for the creation. Yani His kindness, His charity, His benevolence, His mercy, and so on. For these reasons, Allah is the one who's worthy of praise, and this is a means. Praising Allah is a means of nearness to Him. It's a means of earning His love, and it's a means of a person's dua being accepted. So the person, he was supplicating, Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, I ask you, based on the fact of my acknowledgement and my iman, that you are the one deserving the praise, all praise. La ilaha illa anta. And nothing deserves to be worshipped except you. Tawheed. Al-Mannan. Yani from the names of Allah, Al-Mannan. The one who is, yani, very kind and generous. Benevolent. The benefactor. Al-Mannan. Badi'u samawati wal-ard. The one who originated the heavens and the earth. The creator of everything that exists. And then he said, Ya dhal jalali wal-ikram. O, the one who, yani, owns and possess majesty and honor. Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, O the one who has perfect life and who is self-subsisting, that has no need of anyone or anything while everything is in need of him. He mentioned these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani asking Allah that these names, his acknowledgement, his recognition, his iman in these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be a means of nearness to Allah, that they be a cause of his nearness to Allah so that his dua would be accepted. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd. Yani the first thing is what? That all the praise belongs to you. La ilaha illa anta. And there is no one that deserves to be worshipped except you. And you are al-mannan, badi' as-samawati wal-ard, ya dhal jalali wal-ikram, ya hayyu, ya qayyum. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this man saying these words, he said, لَقَدْ دَعَ اللَّهِ بِاسْمِهِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. Yani that this man, he has asked Allah by his greatest name, بِاسْمِهِ الْعَظِيمِ, his greatest name, which if he is called upon with this name, he will answer, he will respond. And if he is asked for anything by this name, he will give it. And some of the scholars said that the difference between, as it came in the previous hadith in the last session as well, the difference between the expression وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. Yani when he's asked for something specific, he gives it. وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ, but if he is called upon by it, أَجَابَ, he answers. Meaning that if he's asked for something specific, he gives it. And if he is supplicated, it's more general, then he responds. Meaning that he responds by giving that person what they're asking for now, or by turning away from that person some harm that was before them, or by storing it up as a good for them in the next life. But he responds. So there's a difference between إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. He will respond in one of three ways, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the authentic hadith which we previously covered, يعني, in which he told his companions that when you call upon Allah, He will definitely answer in one of three ways. Either He will give you that which you're asking for now in this world, or He will turn away from you some harm that was decreed to before you, or He will store it up for you as a reward in the next life. And they said, when they heard this, they said, therefore we will do what? Nukthir. Therefore we will ask a lot. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahu akthar. And Allah, yani, is more than that. He is more capable and able and willing to give more than you can ask. So this is the second supplication that the Shaykh mentions under this point. And then the third matter that he mentions here is reference to the previous subject. He said, وَتَقَدَّمَ قَرِيبًا. By the way, this hadith is, I think I mentioned that this hadith is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. The Shaykh mentions here the reference to Sunan of Abu Dawud. It says Shaykh al-Albani in his yani checking of the hadith of the Sunan of Abu Dawud said that it's sahih. But this hadith is also mentioned by At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i as well. And then the Shaykh mentions, finally, he said, تَقَدَّمَ قَرِيبًا دُعَاءَ الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي تَوَسَّلَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِتَوْهِيدِهِ وَإِيمَانِهِ بِهِ. Yani, we have mentioned previously, just recently, the supplication of the man who sought nearness to Allah. Yani, تَوَسَّلَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. تَوَسَّلَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Yani, based upon the tawheed of Allah, and based upon that man's iman in Allah. This hadith was mentioned previously, yani the supplication in which it is reported that he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa anta al-ahad as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. He said that we mentioned this previously, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that man, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ اللَّهَ بِاسْمِي بِالْإِسْمِ الَّذِي إِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. Yani, you have asked Allah by the name, which if he is asked by this name, He will give what is being asked for. And if He is called upon, is supplicated by this name, He will answer, He will respond. Then the Shaykh says, so these are three supplications from amongst, yani, those which are authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ, and they are from amongst those du'a, those supplications which, yani, the Prophet ﷺ has declared that if a person calls upon Allah, yani, with these supplications or with these words, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. The Shaykh says, فَهَذِهِ جُمْلَةُ الدَّوَابِتْ وَالْآدَابِ فِي الدُّعَى الَّتِي أَوْرَدَهَا الْإِمَامِ ابْنُ الْقَيِّمُ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ. Yani, this is some of, these are a group or some of yani the dawabit, the rules or the yani guidelines and the adab, the manners or etiquettes of dua, which have been mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. And there are lots of other things also that should be considered in dua that perhaps we will yani search for and find some benefit from some of them. And perhaps I might mention a few items right here before we close out what the Shaykh says here, just for the benefit. Yani, from the book Tuhfa al-Abrar fi Ad'iyya wal-Adab wal-Adhkar, yani from Shaykh Muhammad Jamil Zaino rahimahullah, he has a section, the dua that is answered, and he mentions some of what we already mentioned, some of these supplications that we have just discussed. But he mentions another supplication that's not mentioned here, and I think it is of importance to hear this hadith of the Prophet. It's reported by Al-Bukhari and others on the authority of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَعَارَّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَقَالَ حِينَ يَسْتَيْقِظُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. In some of the narrations, and it also, it's not in Bukhari, but in some of the narrations it has, يُحْيِ وَيُمِيتْ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Yani, in the narration of Bukhari, it has, if a man turns over or wakes up in the night, and he says when he wakes up, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and he has no partner. له الملك وله الحمد, to him belongs the kingdom, the sovereignty, and to him belongs all praise. The following words are not in the Sahih Bukhari, but it's in other narrations. This, some of the scholars declare to be Sahih. It's reported by Imam Ahmad that he said, يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ, that you are the one, he is the one who gives life, and he is the one who causes death. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, and in his hand is all good. These words, يعني يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, are not in Sahih Bukhari, but it's in the Muslim Imam Ahmad, and it's also authentic. And then he said that you say, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he is the one who has power over everything. And then he said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. That's how it came in Ahmed, Musnad Imam Ahmed. And Bukhari came, alhamdulillah first. Alhamdulillah, wa subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. So the person says this, he says, Subhanallah, yani declaring Allah to be free from imperfections. Oh, how perfect is Allah, and the praise belongs to Allah, and there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and Allah is the greatest, and there's no power or strength except with Allah. A person wakes up in the night, and he begins to praise and glorify Allah with these words. The Prophet ﷺ said, and then he says, Allahumma ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. Aw da'a, or he supplicates with any supplication. Istujiba lahu, then he will be responded to. Yani a person wakes up in the night and recites these words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they ask Allah's forgiveness, or they supplicate with any supplication, then their supplication will be responded to. فَإِنْ قَامَ فَتَوَضَّعَ ثُمَّ صَلَّى قُبِلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ, and if he were to get up, yani didn't stop just saying those words and supplicating, but he actually got up and performed ablution and performed salah, then his salah would be accepted. Again, this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in his Sahih and others. It's hadith number 1154. And some of the wording that I mentioned here is from the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and it's also authentic. So this is also another dua that a person gets up in the night and supplicates to Allah, even if they didn't pray, even if they didn't perform salat, but they got up and they praised and glorified Allah and asked Allah's forgiveness or supplicated. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said their dua would be accepted. And then, we have a few more minutes. From those things, before I close with the Sheikh's closing remarks, from those things that are also times or situations or circumstances or conditions that a person should pay attention to, the Sheikh in the same book, he mentions awqat ijabat du'a, and from the times in which du'a is accepted, he says, fil layl wa thuluth al-akhir minhu, yani during the night in general, and in the last third of the night. And this is one of the six times that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, in the last third of the night. But the Shaykh says here, fil layl, yani in the night generally, the Prophet ﷺ said, inna fil layli sa'atun la yuwafiquha rajulun muslim yas'alu Allah fiha khayran min amri ad-dunya wal akhirah illa ata'ahu Allah iyyahu. Wadhalika kull laylatin. That indeed, in the night, there is a time period in which a Muslim man or woman, a Muslim, yani, supplicates to Allah at that time for some kind of khair, whether it's from the affairs of the world or the affairs of the hereafter. Allah will give him what he asks for. وَذَلِكَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ, and that is every night of the year. He also mentioned some other things that we already mentioned, the time of the adhan and between the adhan and the iqamah. And he mentioned, yani dua in the sujood, which the Shaykh didn't mention as one of the yani 13 points, but he mentioned it in the discussion of yani prayer, yani supplication being answered in the end of the prayer. And then the Shaykh mentions, kana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha ra'a al-matar qala Allahumma sayyiban nafiyan, reported by Al-Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he saw rain coming down, he would supplicate. And this is an indication what? That supplication during the rain is also accepted. He would say, O Allah, sayyiban nafiyan, make it rain that is beneficial. Not just rain, because rain can be harmful as well. Make it beneficial rain. Also from those, the Shaykh who mentioned those whose dua is accepted, he said the dua of the person who is in distress. The dua of the person who is in distress, and he mentioned this from Surah An-Naml, 27th Surah, 62nd Ayat. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دُعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Yani, the point here in this ayat is what? Is there anyone better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who answers the person who is in distress when they call on him? So the person who is in distress, calling on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer them and he will remove the harm to the end of the ayat. The second one he mentions is the dua of the mazloom, mutlaqan. Yani the person who has been wronged, who oppression and wrong is being done to, their dua will be accepted. He said, walau kana kafiran aw fajiran. Even if they were a kafir. Even if they were a corrupt, wicked person. And he mentions several hadiths to support this. I'll just read a little bit of it quickly. Yani, he mentions the general hadith that's reported. The Shaykh al-Albani mentions Sahihah. He said, اتقوا دعوت المظلوم. Yani, protect yourself from the supplication of the one who has been oppressed, who wrong has been done, for his dua is carried in the clouds. The second one he mentions, or another hadith that he mentions, اتقوا دعوت المظلوم. Protect yourself from the supplication of the person who has been wronged. وَإِن كَانَ كَافِرًا. Even if that person is a kafir. And he mentions, and that hadith is, yani Shaykh al-Albani mentions the Sahih al-Jami'a, that is Hassan. And then he mentioned, I'm sorry, that one he said is Hassan, is reported by Imam Ahmed. And another narration he mentions, that Shaykh al-Albani mentions in Sahih al-Jami'a, da'watul mazloom mustajabatun wa in kana fajiran. Yani the supplication of the oppressed person will be answered, even if that person is a wicked, corrupt person. Their corruption is against themselves, and their dua against the person who oppressed them is going to be answered, even if they are a kafir, even if they are a wicked, corrupt person. Then the Shaykh mentions others whose dua is accepted. Yani da'watu sa'im wal musafir wal walid. Yani the supplication, he said three supplications that are mustajabat. The supplication of the fasting person, the supplication of the person who is oppressed, and the supplication of the traveler. And then he mentions another narration. That narration is Shaykh al-Albani mentions Sahih, that is Sahih. And then he mentions another narration, three supplications that will be answered. There's no doubt about it. Da'atul walid, wa da'atul musafir, wa da'atul madhloom. Yani the supplication of the parent, and the supplication of the traveler, and the supplication of the person who has been oppressed. And the last two that I want to mention, and he mentioned more than this, I'm just like trying to skip through the ones that I think, yani, is going to be more easily used. The last two that he mentioned, that I'm going to mention, is the dua of the mu'min li akhihi bi dhahr al-ghayb. Yani the dua of the believer for his brother in their absence. Yani the dua of a believer for another believer, brother or sister, in their absence. The Prophet ﷺ said, dua al-mar'i al-muslim mustajabun li akhihi bi dhahr al-ghayb. In the ra'si malakun muwakkalun. كل ما دعا لأخيه بخير قال الملك آمين ولك بمثل ذلك. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the dua of a Muslim person is going to be answered for his absent brother, and he makes supplication for his brother or his sister in their absence when they are not present. At his head is an angel that is appointed over him, and every time he supplicates for his Muslim brother or sister with khair, then the angel says Ameen to his dua, and the angel supplicates for him, and for you will be the like of that. And the angel then supplicates for the person who supplicates for their brother in their absence. And finally the Shaykh says, and this is not the end of what he said, but this is the last one I'm going to mention, dua al-dhakir Allah kathiran wal-madhloom wal-imam al-adil. Yani the dua of the person who remembers Allah a lot, and the oppressed person, and the just Iman. And he says three supplications that are not rejected, or three people whose dua is not rejected, al-dhakir Allah kathira, yani the one who remembers Allah a lot, and the one who is oppressed, and al-imam al-muqsit, yani the just Iman. So these are also some other points, and there are more. Yani the point is here what? That what we have covered from al-imam ibn al-Qayyim, yani is a selection of some of the most important things that a person should pay attention to in dua. And there's a lot more to this subject, and this is just an idea. of some of the things that also are pertinent or important in reference to the person making dua, in reference to times or situations or circumstances or people, and who Allah would accept their dua. Then the Shaykh, we're going to close with what the Shaykh says here. Now, we'll close with this. The Shaykh says, so this is, yani, some of the rules or guidelines and etiquettes or manners of dua which have been mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. He says, فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يَجْتَهِدَ فِي تَحْرِيرِهَا فِي دُعَائِهِ. Therefore, it is incumbent, it is befitting of every Muslim, after knowing these affairs, it is befitting of every Muslim, أَنْ يَجْتَهِدَ فِي تَحْرِيرِهَا فِي تَحَرِّيهَا, I'm sorry, فِي تَحَرِّيهَا فِي دُعَائِهِ. So therefore, it is incumbent upon every Muslim to strive, to make an effort, to make a great effort in seeking out these matters in their dua. Yani trying to observe these things in one's dua. فَإِنَّهَا مَتَى مَجْتَمَعَتْ فِيهِ فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا ذَكَرَ الْإِمَامِ ابْنُ الْقَيِّمِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فَإِنَّ هَذَا الدُّعَى لَا يَكَادُ يُرَدُّ أَبَدًا. So whenever these things, these affairs, are observed by a person, when they are all collected together, a person supplicates observing all of these things, then it is, as was mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, that indeed this dua that the person makes, in which he has observed these matters from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will almost never ever be rejected. This dua will almost never ever be rejected. And then the Shaykh closes with dua. He says, وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُصْلِحَ لَنَا دِينَنَا الَّذِي هُوَ إِسْمَةُ أَمْرِنَا. That we ask Allah the Most High to rectify for us our deen, yani our Islam, our practice of Islam, our observance of the deen of Allah, which is yani our isma, ismatu amrina. It is the thing that if we hold fast to it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah. الْإِلْتِصَام بِالدِّينِ اللَّهِ. Yani that this is the thing, holding to the deen of Allah, it is the thing that will protect and preserve all of our affair. The whole of our affair, everything in our life will be protected and will be preserved if we hold fast to the deen of Allah. So we ask Allah to rectify for us our deen, which is the means or the source of the protection and preservation of the whole of our affair. وَأَنْ يُصْلِحْ لَنَا دُنْيَانَا الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَاشُنَا. And also to rectify for us our worldly affair, within which is our life and our livelihood in this world. وَأَنْ يُصْلِحْ لَنَا آخِرَتَنَا. And also that he rectify for us our, yani the matter of the akhirah, the hereafter. التي إليها معادنا. Yani which, yani is that to which we will return. Yani the affair of the next life. Our, yani return, resurrection to life and being called to account. Rectify for us our akhirah. وَأَنْ يَجَعَلَ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لَنَا فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. And to make life, our life in this world, any every day that we live in this world, to be an increase for us in every kind of good. Yani that if we live another day, that it only be a means of increasing good. Which can be understood to mean that if it's not going to be increasing good, then we are really asking Allah to take us out of here. Yani if a person is not afraid to say, remove me from this world, when it's not going to be good for me. As the Prophet ﷺ said in another supplication, he said, and make al-hayat, the life, whatever time I have in this world, all of it should be ziyadatan, an increase for us in every kind of good. Wal-mauta rahatan lana min kulli shar. And that our death should be a means of rest and relief from every kind of evil. And the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith reported by Imam Muslim that yani that the people are of two types, mustari and mustarah. Yani one who will find rest when he dies from this world, and the other one from whom everything in the world will find rest. Yani al-ibad wal-bilad wal-shajara wal-dawab. Yani the people and the lands and the trees and the animals will find rest when that person is removed from the world. The other one is the person who worships Allah. He will find rest from the ta'ab of this world ila rahmati rabbihi, to the rahma of his Rabb. And he will go from this world and all that it contains of difficulties and hardships and pain and suffering and evil, and death will be the means of raha, as came in this supplication here, which is based upon a supplication of the Prophet ﷺ. Let life be an increase for us in every kind of good, and let death be a rest, a source of rest, and a relief for us from every kind of evil, the evil of this world. والله تعالى أعلم. And Allah is the one who knows best. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And may the salat and salam of Allah be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and upon his family, and upon his companions, all of them. Ameen. We still have 2 or 3 minutes remaining. Well, we don't have 2 or 3 minutes remaining, but we're going to ask, and if the Imam doesn't mind for us to take 2 or 3 minutes, because since this is our last session, then we want to go over the questions now for this today's session. I should have told you in the beginning, Labas, yani we'll do the best that we can. The first question for tonight's class mentioned Al-Amr al-Thani Ashara, the 12th matter which the person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. What is the 12th matter? Not the 13th, the 12th. Sadaqah, giving charity. Secret charity is a means of yani removing the anger of Allah. The second question, mention a dalil from the authentic sunnah which supports this 12th matter as a means of dua being answered. What is the hadith? And even if the general meaning of it is remembered. The hadith.
Secret charity removes
the anger of Allah. Removes the anger of Ar-Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 3. Mention another reason given by the author as to why this 12th matter is a means of dua being answered. Why is this 12th matter a means of dua being answered? Another reason that the Shaykh mentioned. Now,
it is from the things that is legislated, and righteous deeds, and these things bring one near to Allah.
Now, because it is from the general body of al-amal al-saliha, given charity is from righteous deeds, which have been legislated as a means of nearness to Allah. Yani, and when the person becomes near to Allah, then it's more likely that dua is going to be answered. Question number 4. Mention al-amra al-thalith ashara. Mention the 13th matter which the person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. 13th matter. What's the 13th matter? Now,
the dua that has been specifically mentioned by the Prophet has been guaranteed for an answer.
Naam. The dua that have been specifically mentioned by the Prophet as being guaranteed an answer. And those supplications which the Prophet made us know that they will be responded to, that they will be answered. The question number 5, mention 3 statements in the dua, or mention the 3 statements in the dua of Dhun-Nun, yani Yunus alayhi salam taught to us by the Prophet. What are the 3 statements? The first statement he said, La ilaha illa anta. Second statement he said, Subhanaka. And the third statement he said, Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Naam. Question, so this is a dua that yani we can say. Even if the person is not directly asking for something, yani it's understood that I'm in trouble and I'm asking Allah for help by these words of Yunus alayhi salam. Question number 6, why did the Prophet, or what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say about the benefit of the dua of Dhun-Nun, Yunus alayhi salam, from the belly of the whale? What did he say about this dua? General meaning of what he said. That there's no Muslim person who supplicates with this dua, except that Allah will definitely answer. Except that Allah will answer him. Question number 7. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about the supplication? The supplication in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, where he heard the man saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anna laka alhamd. O Allah, I ask you, because, yani due to the fact, yani my acknowledgement and admission, my iman, and the fact that you are the one worthy of praise. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say about yani this supplication? You have asked Allah by His greatest name, which If he is called upon by it, huh? He answers. And if he is asked for something, he gives it. And the last question summarizes the 13 matters which a person supplicating to Allah must give attention to. We'll just get the last two. We already did the first 11, right? In the beginning of the class. Do it again? Do it again. There it is. I wanted to do it again, but I was afraid somebody going to say, man, we just got finished doing that. Jazakallah khair. There it is right there. That's what I need, some support. Okay, number one. Number one. Presence of heart. Hudur al-qalb. Naam. And focusing on the thing being requested. Number two. The prescribed times. Those times which we have been made to know, they are more likely for dua to be accepted. Number three. Al-khushu'. Yani the state of humbleness and submission in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four. Facing the Qibla. Number five. Being in a state of purification. Number six. Raising the hands in dua. Number seven. Beginning with praising Allah and salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number eight. Beginning with tawbah and istighfar. Number nine. Being persistent in asking Allah politely and respectfully. Number 10. Combining, yani between the state of fear and hope. Number 11. Calling on Allah, seeking nearness to Allah by His names, His asma and His sifat and His tawheed. Number 12. Charity given secretly. And in this point also we can add to it, yani the doing of righteous deeds. All of that is a means of getting near to Allah. All of that is a means of earning the love of Allah. All of that is a means of one's dua being, yani if Allah loves you, when you ask Him, He's going to give you. Naam. And number 13. Utilizing the dua in which the Prophet ﷺ said, these particular dua would not be rejected. They would be accepted. And again, in closing, yani these supplications are critical. I say, memorize them. If a person said, I don't know, it might be difficult, no problem. Write it down. Print it out. Carry it in your pocket. Supplicate with these dua. Don't just take a chance on saying words that you think sound good, that you came up with yourself. Unless you are asking for something particular, make this dua first. La ilaha illa anta. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And then, yani, oh Allah, my mother, my sister, my brother, my children, whatever it is that you want to ask for. Naam. May Allah accept from us, and may He yani, put in our hearts yani, the inclination and the desire yani, to learn these things, and to understand them, and to remember them when we're making dua, so that we will utilize them. And may Allah make us sincere yani, when we turn to Him and ask Him, and that we try to like remember that it is humility, it is our humbleness and our recognition and our acknowledgement of our shortcoming in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That may be the means through which Allah will see us in this humble position, in this condition, that we realize and acknowledge and confess our dire need of help from Him. And He's the only one that is able and willing to help us. There are many people who may be willing to help but are not able. And there are some people who are able to help but are not willing. But Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. Nobody else does whatever they will. And Allah wants good for us. And if we call on Him for that which is good, we expect that He's going to answer us. But, yani, we must utilize that which He has legislated in order for our dua to be accepted. May Allah accept from us our dua, and may He grant us ease in this life and in the next life. May He protect and preserve our children. And may He accept the good that we do, whatever it is that we do and that we say, sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with the sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds and multiply them. And may He pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors. And may He grant us success to be steadfast upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen.